Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello there, welcome back to the West London Sport QPR podcast, where we'll look back on the excellent 2-0 victory at Preston last Friday and head to Saturday's home fixture of high-flying Hull. Although the win at Deepdale was not enough to take Rangers out of the bottom three, it was the first time the team have won back-to-back matches since October 2022. The 8 points accrued in five games under Marty Cifuentes is as many as was picked up in the opening 14 games of the season. But it was the manner of the performance which impressed on a freezing night in Lancashire. I'm joined as ever by former Rangers skipper Kevin Gallen. Kev, what has happened to this team?
Well, there's numerous factors. Keeping possession a lot better. Two, having your best players on the pitch. Which I always believe, if you want to be successful, you have to have your best players on the pitch as often as you can. Three, they seem to tighten up at the back, and I do believe that's because, and I said this before a few months ago, where if you haven't got possession and you're always defending, eventually there will come a time when you feel a little bit tired and chasing the ball around, gaps will open, but. You know, Ray Wilkins used to always say to us when I was a player, the ball never gets tired. Move the ball quicker. Move the ball. One and two touch. Move it. Move the ball. And we seem to be doing that. And Friday was, an excellent result. And especially coming after the great result on Tuesday against Stoke, where this was a tough game because, one, it was a Friday night. It was freezing. And you've got to show a lot of character to go up to Preston and get a 2-0 win because it's a tough place to go. And considering, the highs of the Tuesday, you can sometimes be so high that, you know, you dip down, but they've gone high and they've gone never high again. So, you know, a fantastic result. Second half performance was as good as I've seen from QPR for a long time. And it was well deserved.
Yeah, it's interesting because there is that old adage about when you win a game, it's difficult to change your winning team. But, you know, not only did he change your winning team, he left out Ilias Chair, left out Steve Cook. And, two key players from that win against Stoke. But weirdly, he's kind of, they look, you'd have said QPR a month ago had nothing on the bench. But he's almost, by using the same players, made the use of the bench effective.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, and I know what you're saying. It was a surprise. I thought he would have played Willock and Chair together, but I don't know if the plan was to bring Ilias Chair on in the second half, but did Colbeck get a knock? and that sort of forced his hand. And
I think a little from what he said was because he brought Cher on about 56 minutes against Stoke.
Willock, I mean.
Yeah, he put Willock on against Stoke in the about sort of early in the second half, and I think he wanted to do the same with Cher, but I think his hand was forced by Colback picking up a knock in the first half. But it kind of does make sense, doesn't it? You know, the other team sort of tiring a little bit and then throw on fresh legs early in the second half to kind of catch teams on the hop.
It's the old sort of, and it's nothing new, but, you know, you go away from home and you know, I'm sure everyone's been told this in any sort of level of football, is if you're going away from home, the first thing you do is you keep it tight at the back, you keep their crowd quiet, let them get a bit frustrated. They've had a couple of poor results. Let the crowd sort of get on their back. And we did that. I don't think we played very well first half, but we contained Preston. They didn't really have any chances. It actually was a very boring game. But then if that was the tactic, then to come out in the second half and dominate possession and win 2-0, then the game plan has actually worked to an absolute perfection. So, you know, when I played football, it was always the case of keep it tight at the back, don't let them score early, get the crowd frustrated. Teams do that everywhere. The teams will come to QPR. You know, Saturday, they'll come to QPR and we'll keep it tight at the back. Don't no risk football. Keep it tight. Hopefully the crowd will get on their backs. And it was perfectly planned on Friday by QPR and the players and the management.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly, I'll probably go back to that time under Mick Beale when they beat Millwall and Bristol City away. It was sort of on that level of performance, just the efficiency of it in the second half. I mean, it could have been 3 or 4.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. With the Millwall game last season was very similar to that, where the first half wasn't really much happening, kept it tight, and then second half sort of, you know, dominated the game, and it was a very similar type performance from QPR, and that's sort of the ideal performances away from home that you have to do. Home-wise, really, you've got to go out and try and dominate the game from the off and put the other team under pressure. That's sort of the, you know, what really sort of happens in tactically in the minds of managers is, you know, go for it first 10, 15 minutes, you know, and see how we go on the away from home. Keep it tight first 15, 20 minutes. Frustrate everyone.
Now, when a new manager comes in, I mean, it never seems to happen at QPR where there's a managerial bounce. This is the first time I can probably since Neil Warnock came in, they won, you know, he got them out of trouble, and there hasn't been that much of an effect when the club's changed managers mid-season. But I mean, I guess as a player, a new manager comes in, everyone tries to impress him, but the novelty wears off very quickly, doesn't it? And then you sort of need the proof has to be in the pudding. And I think, do you think that, you know, dropping Cher to the bench was kind of it was a surprise move, really? And by all accounts, Cher wasn't impressed to be dropped. But do you think the fact that the end product resulted in a 2-0 win, him dominating the game when he did come on, do you think players will look back and think, OK, this fella knows what he's talking about? You sort of buy into it more?
Yeah. I mean, Cher would have, as you said, would probably have been interesting to see if the manager told him before the game. I'm sure he did, because good managers, you know, pull your best players and say, look, probably told him, look, I'm going to not drop you, you're not going to play, but you're going to come on for the last half an hour, 40 minutes, and I want you to make a really big impact. And that's what happened. And then when you do come on and you're man of the match and you get 2 assists, you come off thinking, hold on, you come off on a high and you're thinking, hold on a minute, that little 40-minute cameo where I can put 90 minutes into 40 minutes and really go for it in that 40 minutes, that ain't like a bad thing. The odd time, you know, in general, he will want to be starting matches every game. There's no doubt about that. But the odd time, you know, you come on a lot fresher than the other players who have been on the pitch. And let's get no, the pitch wasn't great either on Friday. It looked a bit icy to me. It was obviously freezing. So it was tough conditions. And, you know, to sit on the bench, you know, and freezing, you've got to run. When you do come on, you've got to run around and get warm. And that's what he did.
Yeah. Historically, that's, got all the ingredients for QPR rolling over and getting beaten 2-0, wasn't it? You know, 100%. Friday night on Sky, freezing cold up north.
That's why I was a little bit concerned, because of the highs of, you know, of that fantastic last 15-minute performance against Stoke and everyone buzzing. And then you got to go up to Preston and that's cold. And that's why last week we sort of said, I'll take a 1-1 draw. I'd be happy, but one better, obviously, and got that 3 points. But yeah, it was an excellent, you know, team performance. And let's be fair, we defended very well. It's not just the attacking players. We got a zero clean sheet, goalkeeper in the back four, and the defensive midfielders. Pretty much everyone worked hard to keep that clean sheet. And that's the most important thing is, you know, you've got to keep clean sheets if you want to win matches. Obviously, obvious thing to say. And we haven't really kept many clean sheets this year, have we? Maybe third, one or two. Third. So, was it Middlesbrough away? Did we keep a clean sheet?
Four then, yeah. Because 0-0 at Bristol, 0-0 Bristol City, 2-0 win at Borough, as you say, 0-0 draw at Birmingham. So,
yeah. So, yeah. He's what's really sort of impressive is that we've literally stopped conceding shed load of goals in the last 5 or 6 matches where we were conceding all the time. And that's because we're keeping the ball a little bit more and we've got possession. Can't score if you've got the other team can't score if you've got possessions. It's simple.
Yeah. I think as well, it's, I thought Jake Clark Salter was outstanding against Preston, and he was really good when he came on against Stoke. I mean, it's just a case for him. You just got to keep him fit, haven't you? Because
it's interesting. You know, it's a bit interesting to see how they manage him fitness wise, because when he does play, he looks a really good defender. It's just, we haven't seen enough of him on the pitch. It'd be interesting to see, where does he train as much as the rest of the lads, where, or do they, you know, where some people, you know, have to maybe, still having a 1-day recovery from a match, he might have to have a 2-day recovery of, you know, on the bikes or a little jog and stretch. Do you know what I mean? So some players are different. So they have to manage him a little bit differently to the others, because unfortunately he's broke down so many times, not just at QPR, but in his career. So he has to be managed a little bit differently, and it'd be interesting to see if he can stay injury free for a while, because, you know, he's an asset, but also when you have a back four, it's always good to have a left-sided centre-half, left foot. It gives good balance to the team. But he's got good pace. He's got good pedigree. You just need to see him on the pitch as often as possible. And he's a real asset to the team.
Yeah, I think there's, Rico Henry plays for Brentford. He's currently injured at the moment. But I know when he signed from Walsall, they just couldn't get him on the pitch. He just couldn't be fit. He was in and out. And he just have a run of games, and he's become this, you know, such an outstanding left back for Brentford. And, you know, I think Clark Sorter could be the same with QPR. He just needs to play. I don't think he's played more than 4 games in a row.
Well, the thing with Clark Sorter, he's not going to have, he's got a slim physique. He's not going to put on weight by not training. Do you know what I mean? Some players have to train all the time to keep trim and keep fit, where he doesn't. He seems to be naturally a slim, athletic physique. So, look, the way you get match fitness is by playing matches. It's obvious, but it really is. So you got to take care. I mean, the great Paul McGrath hardly trained, but when you got him on the pitch for Aston Villa or Ireland, he was the best player on the pitch, and he looked as fit as anyone. So they just got to look after him a little bit differently, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I admire the way he's kind of utilising the bench as well. Fuentes, you know, like Larkesh was, again, never got a looking under Ainsworth, and, you know, was hung out to try a little bit playing at right back, a very left-footed player playing at right back on his debut in the Championship. And, you know, he's come off the bench twice and made an impact coming off the bench against Stoke, and then, you know, he played a key role in that second goal scored by Chris Willock. Again, it's just utilising what you have without sort of moaning about, I need this guy, I need that guy. You know, all managers say, I want to look at everyone, but they never mean it. They just sort of go, I've got preconceived ideas about, you know, what he can do, what he can't do. But I think it's really impressive what he's doing with so-called lesser players in the squad.
Well, he's given them a chance for starters, bringing them on in the important times of the match. And you're right. Is it Larkesh? Have I got his name right? His contribution in the last two games has been excellent. You know, he set up that third goal, which really was the winning goal against Stoke, by just being hungrier than the right back to get the ball and out battling and out fighting him. And then you've got he had a part in the goal for Willock, and you know that will breed confidence for him and make him more confident, and he'll be like thinking, well, I've got a chance of getting on the pitch now every game at some stage. And when you've sort of been out of it, and then you get in it and you're playing, you want more of it. And the only way you get more of it is by impressing them. And there's no doubt in the last two games he's impressed.
Have you seen anything? I thought Dykes, actually, he didn't score, but I thought he played the centre-forwards role very well against Preston. Have you seen him doing anything differently in the last few games, just in terms of sort of linking play? And I thought he's off the ball. That was probably one of his best games for QPR.
Yeah, I mean, Dykes is, you know, you're going to get 100% off Lyndon Dykes. He can win a flick on. But, you know, under Gareth, he was sort of playing right wing where we were hitting diagonals for him to flick on, and just number nine centre forward. Let him stay up there, and hopefully he can contain the two centre halves, and then that gives a little bit more space for Willock, for Ilias Chair, for Paul Smith to, you know, run off him, get chances to score. But you know, he would have been a lot more confident, obviously, for the two goals he scored against Stoke, and he's probably gone into that game against Preston, you know, wanting to add to that tally. He didn't, but he contributed to a 2-0 win, great team performance.
You know, well, me in particular, I've been kind of crying out for Willock has to play. And now he is playing, he's scoring goals. It sort of begs the question, why on earth wasn't he playing?
Yeah, I know. And it's like we both were. You were very vocal on it. And, you know, I was more of, yeah, I agree. But he has to produce when he's on the pitch as well. He's on the pitch, he's producing. He played really well. He looks to get fitter. Looks like he's got a smile on his face. And like I said, he's got seven months of his contract left. You know, he's got to start playing for his future, whether it's at QPR or somewhere else. So it's a good thing for the team right now, because he has to impress to get us out of danger, because we're still in the bottom three. I mean, that's the facts. I mean, we can't. I know we're feeling a lot better because of the last two performances, but we're still in the bottom three, and we need to get out, and we still need to carry on. We still need wins to get out, because it's still going to be tough. Mm-hmm. Because the other teams are going to have a go as well. It's not just QPR. Other teams might change their manager, which some of them have. So still going to be tough. I do believe we're obviously in a much better position than we were a month ago, where I thought we were definitely getting relegated. Now I think we've got a real good chance of getting out of it. If I put money on it, I would say we would. And, you know, back to, we need Willock firing. We need Chair firing. We need Lyndon Dykes firing. Lyndon Dykes has got the Euros in the summer. He needs to be scoring goals to, he'll probably be in the squad, but he probably wants to play for Scotland starter. So we need those three firing, and they've got really good incentives, not only to keep QPR up for themselves, but they have incentives for themselves.
Yeah. And so looking ahead to Saturday, Hull City at home, he's done a really good job there, Liam Rossini. He came in the whole last season when they were sort of struggling at the bottom end. And I did the game up there last season when they hammered Rangers 3-0, and speaks very well, very impressive. And, you know, they're up in the top six. It's going to be a difficult game, isn't it?
Very difficult. I think, you know, I think a lot of the teams are very, very similar in the Championship. I think there's two or three sort of really good teams, Leicester, you know, Southampton have got a really good squad. Leeds, you know, they're the three teams that got relegated, where they have sold but reinvested with some real good players. You know, I think they're the top three, and Ipswich have done ever so well, as in, you know, getting promoted, but the momentum they've done really, I didn't think they'll do as well as they are. I do think they'll drop off in the end, but fair play to them. And then I think the rest of the championship is very similar. And if you can get confidence, get a run and keep your best players fit, then you've got a chance of achieving something. And Hull will be thinking that. But, you know, if QPR play like they have been playing, you know, I think we'll get a result of some sort. I wouldn't be looking at Hull and thinking, oh, they're much better or that. I think, you know, we can go into this game with confidence and try and get another win at home. But it will be tough. It's tough. They've got some good players. We've got some good players. It's who performs on the day, tactically. You know, which way, you know, are they going to do what QPR did against Preston and, you know, defend resolutely in the first half and then have a go second half? Are QPR going to go right at them from the start? Or are they going to sit back like they did a little bit against Stoke, where I thought, you know, the first half, Stoke actually impressed me. And they haven't been doing too well, but, you know, I thought Stoke were very good in the first half, and up until the man got sent off, I thought they were a good team. So, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, they score plenty of goals, Hull. They've got the lad they signed from Aston Villa, Jaden Philogene, who's a really good player on the wing. Aaron Connolly's on loan from Brighton. And because he's been a sort of coach at academy level, Rossini, he knows a lot of young players that, from clubs, and they've got good contacts. And they've used that market very well. It's Delap's on there. I think he's on loan there as well from Man City. He's a big...
Good, yeah. Good player.
Big target man up front. It's going to be a really tough game. But I mean, you know, sort of confidence and feel good factor playing at home. I think there'll be a decent crowd there. What are your thoughts prediction wise?
Prediction wise, I'm going to go confident. I'm going to go 2-1 QPR. I think it's going to be a really tight game. Hopefully the hoodoo of not scoring any goals at the Loft is gone. I'd be happy with 0-0 at half-time and then kicking down into the Loft to win the game. I really would. I always preferred that when I played. It's going to be tough. All games, the Championship, they're all tough games. There's no... Everyone's sort of as a match, except for those top three, I think. And whoever imposes and plays well on the day, works hard, harder than the other team, and takes their chances. That's always a big thing, is taking your chances when they come. QPR will be going into this game very confident after those two victories they've had. They'll have 8 days off. They should be fresh and raring to go. And so will the crowd be. I mean, the crowd have been magnificent at home as well. So, you know, always good atmosphere. And, you know, it makes a big difference when the crowd is like not on edge like it has been, you know, where you're sort of expecting... You know, when you could see the goal, it's like, here we go, it's going to happen again. Where now we won that game, last two games, they'll be more optimistic. And that can breed onto the pitch, and you can feel that when you're on the pitch. Especially if you're in a run when you're losing, and it's like a case of, even the players will be like, you could see the goal, it's like, oh, here we go again. It's happening again. So, yeah, I think 2-1 QPR.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, hopefully, because, I mean, even, you know, two wins in a row is great, but there's still no room for error at the moment. You've got, you know, big games coming up. It's a big week for Rangers. You've got, you know, home game against Hull on Saturday, then Plymouth on Wednesday, and then away to Sheffield Wednesday. You know, two of those three clubs are in and around where you are. It's a big week. I mean, two defeats this week, you're kind of back to square one a little bit. But I do think, you know, I agree with you on the confidence, the crowd. I mean, that was a massive win, that Stoke game. It really was. Just it felt like it lifted a whole weight off everyone at the club. I mean, they had to win at home at some stage. But I think to do it in that dramatic fashion, I think it doesn't matter how you win. But if you do it that way, I think, you know, there was a real kind of euphoric feeling around the place, which for, you know, for a bog standard championship game on a Tuesday night, you know, you don't get that very often. Yeah, I'm gonna go for a draw. I think Hull are decent. I think it'd be a good draw. I think it'd be a good point. Yeah, I'm gonna go for a draw. I mean, it's a no lose game, really. Just don't lose. I think we're at that stage now.
Yeah, I mean, you've just got to keep picking up points every game. Obviously, not, you know, saying 1 point, there's no room for error. We do need wins because of where we are. But just, you're right when you say no lose. Yeah, definitely not a loss at home after doing so well would be sort of a backward step. And then, you know, we've got the January transfer window coming up. I'm sure they'll be doing something guarding runs or to help out as well. And be interesting. That's an interesting January for QPR to see what they're going to do regarding signings, permanents or loans, or someone leaving, finance people coming in.
Yeah, I don't see them spending any money as such in January. I think it'll be loans. I mean, they haven't used the loan market at all in this season, which, you know, seems a bit unfathomable, really. It just, particularly in the Championship, every club in the Championship is kind of picking loans up from other clubs. So they've got that open to them still. But I mean, I think what's encouraging is that everyone's fit at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about injuries, feels like, for 8 or 9 months. He's back, when's he back? Everyone is available. And, you know, there's... Yeah, I mean, as I say, just don't lose the game. Don't lose the game. And keep the feel-good factor going. And just a word, I meant to say this earlier on, actually, but just a word on the style of football. I think it's really suiting the goalkeeper. I mean, earlier in the season, you know, his kicking was often a liability. He was making mistakes that some of his experience shouldn't make. But since Fuentes has come in, I'm going to put the kiss of death on him now, but he's looked a lot more solid. Do you think that?
Well, I don't think he's a good kicker, to be honest.
Yeah, he's not.
He's got the power anymore to really kick it long. And there was a few times where we were kicking it, he was kicking it off the pitch, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, into the paddock. I think it was at Sunderland at home. He was kicking it into the paddock all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he had a bird in there, Ian. that was an Ian Dowie special when we were playing. If you used to do shooting at training, and you kicked it over the bar, he used to go, have you got a bird over there, Kev? So I think it suits him passing it short, to be honest. I don't think he's got the power anymore to really kick it long.
So, good stuff. Well, thank you very much, Kev. And thank you for joining us. And like, subscribe, find us on Spotify, YouTube, and all the various places you find your podcast. And we'll see you again next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.